Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Everybody happy? You had a very wet morning, right? Well, I'm so happy to be with you this morning. My wife and I, we really want to thank you for the great blessing that you as a church are to our lives. So thank you. Thank you so much. The song that I share with you is just explain just a little bit of what our hearts have this morning for every one of you. So thank you. Thank you very much for being praying for us the last year. I saw you the last year. And just to make the long story short, when I left the United States, it was going to be a new page of our lives. So my wife and I, we were going to decide what kind of ministry we were going to be involved in. And for the whole last year, we've been involved in a ministry that was really different for our life. We've always been involved with youth groups and encouraging people, you know, through the churches and everything. So we wanted to dedicate 1 year just to those people that they have no churches. People that maybe for you is a little bit difficult to realize or to understand that. But there are many people in Italy that the closest church that they have is about 2 hours or 3 hours away. That's because of that, for them it's really complicated to go to church. Some of them, they came to know the Lord through our ministry, through camps or retreats. But when they go back to their homes, they had no churches close by. So we tried this, the last year, to be involved with those people. And God being so faithful, we visit so many people, and we establish also a kind of ministry through technology that is an encouragement. And in the same time, it was a click in our lives. Because to that point, we cannot be in every single place. But we arrived to a place, and over there was a couple, and that couple, it was really interested to establish a church in their area. The area is close to a place where Romeo and Juliet story came out, you know, Verona. So we went to visit them, and they were really excited about us, and they introduced us another couple, that there are only two couples believer in that area. So she looked at the lady, her name is Patricia, and she started looking at me and she said, "Mario, do you remember me?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, no, I'm becoming old, so I don't remember many things." And she says, "Mario, you have to remember me." I said, "Well, I'm sorry." And she said, "You know what, about 20 years ago in a camp, you led me to the Lord. And since you led me to the Lord, I finished my high school, I went through college, I got married, I had two children, and for all these years, for the last 20 years, we were traveling about 2 hours to go to church. So the last year, I stopped, you know, for a while talking to my husband, and I said, we had to do something in this town. If God put us in this town, we had to do something." And she said, "You won't believe this, but I always remember the enthusiasm that you have in that camp that I participated. And I always said, you know, we had to establish a church here." And I said to my husband, "We had to pray that the Lord is going to bring a person like Mario to our area." And that morning she said to me, "You know what? The Lord didn't answer our prayer. He didn't pray. He didn't bring a person like Mario. He brought Mario." And that was the click for us. My wife and I, we are heading back in Italy the 18th. We arrive in the 19th. And the 20th, we are moving to that area to help them to establish a church. From that moment on, we start working a little bit. It's about 4 hours and a half north from where we live. So we start doing some kind of ministry. So, you know, in the northern part, I don't know how it's over here in the United States, but in the northern part of Italy, people are colder. The south that you go, they are warmer, you know. I'm talking about temperament. So the funny thing was, you know, going up to the north, we start having home meetings. And we had some people coming, but people are not so open to go to home meetings. So I said, "Guys, we had to do something." So we had those two couples, and I said, "We had to do something special here. We need to find a place where we can have our meetings." And they said, "Well, that's great, Mario. Let's start praying." After 2 days, we've been praying. We say, okay, that's wonderful. Now, faith without works is dead. So, what did you do in the last 2 days? Oh, we pray. Well, that's not enough. We had to do something. So, why don't you go and start looking for a place that we can get for free? So, they look at me and they say, well, that's a joke. I say, no, that's faith. That's what we had to do. You know, if we want to please God, we had to go by faith. So, it was so amazing because, you know, they started looking for the way to real estate offices. They said, we need a place to rent just to plant a church, evangelical church. But we had no money, so we got it for free. So people said, no, we don't have anything about it. So they were moving so much, the situation, that one of the neighbors talked to one of these guys, Che Patricia's husband, and he says, why don't you go to the Catholic church? They have many buildings that sometimes they don't use. Oh, that would be an idea. So they called me and they said, Chess, we need to go to the Catholic church. And I said, well, can you imagine to go to the Catholic church, you know, that they are the major opposition in whole Italy to evangelical churches? And the guy said, what do we have to do? We're just dressed up, okay, go and knock the door of the priest and tell him what we want to do. So they make an appointment. They went to visit him, and they say, good morning. They say their names, and they say, we are here just because we want to plant an evangelical church. So the Catholic priest was not happy about it, and he said, well, what can I do for you? And the guy said, that we want to hear, you know. We want to hear what you can do for us. And he said, we know that you have many buildings around that you don't use. We were wondering if you can give it one of those, you know, for free. And the Catholic priest said, for free? Yes, that's what we need, for free, at least for a period of time. And after, when we are going to become many, you know, we're going to change place. So, you know, he said, I think I don't have anything good for you. And the guy said, well, any place could be good. And he said, well, you know what? Right beside the Catholic church, we have a basketball court that we don't use. It is roofed, ugly, and unpainted. If you want it, you can get it. So he said, but, you know, it has to be for free. And he said, oh, yes, for 1 year it's going to be free. That's okay. So, you know, we start having the meetings there. We have a special activity on Christmas time, and we have about 30 people coming. One person came to know the Lord. We have a group already of 7 people, and everybody is really encouraged to start seeing what the Lord is going to do. Let me tell you, during the Christmas time, it was a really bit cold. And so we painted everything, you know, we cleaned up everything. The Catholic priest was really happy about that because he thinks, you know, after 1 year, that's going to be mine again. And that morning, he came to see what we were going to do. So we were going to do some handcraft, you know, and we were going to be working, burning wood and things like that. And he looked at us and he said, oh, this is a very amazing place now. I didn't think it was that nice. But he said, it's a little bit chilly here. I said, no, it's not chilly. It's really cold up here. And he says, oh, do you want the heat on? I would say, yes, we want the heat on. Oh, that's here. I'm going to... No, no, no. We want the heat on, but we don't want to pay for it. I can say, well, guys, you did just a great job. So you're going to have, for the whole winter, you're going to have the heat free. So that was the beginning, and this is the beginning. We are anxious to go back to see what the Lord is going to do. And we are going to be working in that area, and we are going to be working in another church that we're going to be establishing over there, too. We have 7 people over there, too. It's very close to Venice, where the gondolas are and everything. So when you come to visit us, you know, you won't see that. You are going just to preach the gospel. Okay, so, no, you will have some time to see Venice, too. But those are the 2 churches that we want to establish. This is our main desire right now. We ask you to pray. One of the goals I have for this year is just to find 5 men that we are trusting the ministry on them. The Lord allowed us to train them to see the great things that the Lord is going to do in their lives and through their lives. So that's the beginning. So we are going to be establishing 2 churches, planning, and going to be involved in a main church, and we are going to be teaching and preaching there too. So it's going to be such a good challenge for us. We ask you that you pray. I know that you do that. Thank you again for what you've been doing for us all the past years. And hopefully you're not going to quit, right? You're going to keep on doing that. And this morning, you know, I would like to share with you a verse that was really important to my life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." I realize that sometimes we trust the Lord with part of our hearts, because sometimes doubts and fears take place in our hearts. So in those moments that you don't know what to do or how to do it, those are the moments that we are not trusting completely to the Lord. And there are many occasions in our life that it is just like that. So, what we have to do, just to trust, is just to have our eyes on God and not in the circumstances. Circumstances many times are going to bring situations in our lives that are going to be terrible, that we think, how we're going to do it? But in the same time, God is there, and He never leave you. He never forsake you. He's going to be right beside you. And even if you are walking in the middle of the waters like this morning, He's going to be right beside you. And even if you are going to be in the middle of fire, He's going to be right with you, because He's not going to leave you and forsake you. So that's the moment that we say, what do I have to do just to love better my Savior? How can I show Him that I really love you? Now, in some days, we're going to have Valentine's Day, right? So all the ladies are expecting something special, right? No chocolates, no flower, no a new car maybe, you know. So something special. So there is one thing that we like when we come to the United States. Of course, we like the churches, we love the people and everything. But maybe in the bottom of the list, there is one thing that we really love. At least my wife, she loves the most. Sales. Sales over here, they are amazing. Okay? Now, you go there, you buy a dress, $400, you paid it 25 cents. How that's possible? How that is possible? Just in America. Well, it's just not like that in Italy. Okay? In Italy, it's not like that. Okay? When you go on sale in Italy, you go and you buy, let's say that you buy a Gucci watch. Okay? A Gucci watch, it could cost maybe $1,000. Okay? You like that? Okay. Tell your father. Okay. Okay. A Gucci watch. Okay. $1,000. Okay. You got it on sale. $150. So you're so excited. You know, you go to the shop, give me that watch. You put the watch on. It's working there. There is a principle in Italy. When you buy on sale, there is no refund. Okay? Whatever you get, that's yours. Okay? So by the time that you got to your house with a watch, you know, everything is working perfect until you got to your house. When it got to your house, it doesn't work anymore. So you say, what's going on here? Okay? And the problem is, what's on sale? No refund. So you cannot use it as a watch. You use it as a piece of jewelry. Okay? It's always a Gucci watch, so it's nice to watch. By the time they ask you, what time is it? I say, well, go to the telephone. Okay? But, you know, sometimes Christian life is just like that. We want something very high quality, but we want to pay very little. And that's not possible. That's not possible. My mother used to be a business lady, and she always said the same. If it doesn't cost you, it's because it's not worth it. If it doesn't cost you, it's because it's not worth it. So what are the prices that God wants me to pay to show my love to Him? The first price that He wants me to pay is something very easy and very difficult in the same moment. But before we go to the prices, Remember the prices that God paid for us because of love. He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't have many sons. He had only one. And He gave that Son as a sacrifice for every one of us. Why? Because of love. Think in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. He was just practically 100% okay in heaven. All of a sudden, He came to earth. And He didn't live as a king. He lived as a son of the carpenter. And He didn't have all the things that others could have. But He came here for the reason, just to pay the price for our salvation. So it got to the moment that we realized it's God pay a high price to love us. How much are we willing to pay for Him? What's the price? In Italy, we used to have a TV show. It was Okay, the Price is Right. Now, this is the moment to understand what's the price I need to pay. And the first price that we need to pay, it is a price of faithfulness. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. There are many things about God that we never are going to be able to explain. I don't understand in some moment in life why Joseph went through a very difficult time of his life. Of course, when we got to the end of the story, we said, oh, that was wonderful. But when you are in the middle, that's a difficult moment. So when that's the difficult moment, that's the moment that God wants you to be faithful. God wants me to be faithful. Now, when we talk about faithfulness, the meaning of faithfulness is the quality of being faithful. Okay? And we want to explain faithful, steadfast in affection or allegiance to finish what you have started. Now, we're talking about faithfulness. And if I want to be faithful, I know that God is faithful, right? Anything that He has started, He's going to fulfill it. According to what Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says. But my question is, everything that I start for God, did I finish? Do I finish? Will I finish it? This is a question I have to ask myself. Sometimes we are start. And we are so excited to start. And we start well. But in the middle of the race, we got really scared. Or maybe we got really tired. And after we finished, very bad. And many people, they even never finish the race. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 2:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I had kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. But at the end he says, not just for me, but for all of us too. Three things that they are so important. I have fought the good fight. Now, just to fight is not an easy thing, right? You got an opposition. You got people against you. And that's the moment to fight. Sometimes we say, oh, I love you. You know, I don't want to hurt you. Okay? So the devil takes place and he hurts us. Because we don't fight in the way that we're supposed to fight. If you realize, the Bible says that we are soldiers of the great army. We belong to God. You remember David? He went against Goliath. And he went with a desire to destroy Goliath. Why? Because he was going in the name of the Lord. So, to fight takes energy, takes preparation, takes time. It doesn't happen. He said, I finished the race. I finished the race. I don't know if you remember, we are in the Olympics right now, about, you know, ice and everything. But some years ago, it was that guy that he was running his race. He really was a very good runner. But all of a sudden, almost at the end of the race, he downfall. He downfall and he was on the floor. His Olympic career was over. Now from the crowd, a man came there, pick up the guy, put his arms around him, and they walk to the end of the race. For everybody, that athletic was a loser. But for his father, he finished the race. Wherever you start, you have to finish. And you have a great possibility to finish because you got God in your side. Of course, we are not talking at the end of our days, at the end of our lives. We're talking about everyday life. It was some time ago. It was one of those moments that you're praying, Lord, please, no problems today. And when you pray something like that, since all the problems got together, right? So it was one of those days. Norma was going to do some visitation. So she went, she turned on the car, and the car was not working. So, you know, she called me, I went where she was, and the car was dead. I prayed for a resurrection of the car, it didn't work. So I went to see the mechanic, and I talked to him. He came, and he looked at the car, and he started saying, When they say something like that, you know, that means, I don't understand, just explain it, okay? They say, well, we got big problems here. So how much that's going to cost me? So I look at my wallet, I open my wallet. It was one of those days that nothing was in there. So I pray God and I say, Lord, I don't know how we are going to make this, but I want to trust in you. So I left the mechanic. He said, do you want me to fix it? I said, no, just give me some time. So I was walking toward home. While I was walking, it was a big fight in my mind. Well, what can I sell in my house that is going to fix that situation? In the same time, Lord, you promised that you are not going to forsake me, that you are not going to leave me, that you are the provider from the other side. Oh, tomorrow I need to go to preach 400 miles from here. And if I don't have the car, how am I going to make this? From the other side, I am with you. And it was a very big fight in my mind. And the word faithfulness, it was a word I didn't want to lessen in that moment. Because God is faithful, but in that moment I was not so faithful because I was not trusting in God. By the time that I arrived home, I said, Norma, there is nothing that we can do. She said, wait, no, I just was thinking, there is nothing that we can sell, just listen. So she showed me her telephone, and it was a text there. It was a lady with no church that we visited 3 months before. And she said, guys, I've been praying for you. And yesterday, I sent an offering from you. If you look at your banking account, today is supposed to be there. I went to the banking account. I watched and it was the same amount that we needed to pay. Called the mechanic. The mechanic went to pick up the car. He fixed the car. And one of those days, oh, praise God. God is faithful. Lord, forgive me. I was not so faithful. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. When this was happening, she was gone. You know, the car was fixed. Only 2 hours to fix an amount of money. You know, it's like. So she went away. All of a sudden, it started raining. Raining like today here. And all of a sudden, all kind of things start to happen, you know, lightning, and I'm so glad that I am in my house. And all of a sudden, a big light lightning moved my whole building. I live in the second floor. We have another neighbors on the top and one at the bottom. So the light was on. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So my neighbor knocked my door and he said, do you realize that between all the buildings that we have in this town, the lightning just got our building? Oh, wow. That's incredible. So how many damages do you have? None. He said, sure. Because my TV was burned. The heater is burned. The telephone is burned. The monitor is burned. So you didn't have... Thank you, Lord, for protecting my life. For protecting my house. Well, when I got into the house, I was a little bit curious. So I went to the heater of the water, and it didn't work. I went to the telephone, and it didn't work. Went to the TV, and it didn't work. And everything was burned out. And that was the moment. It's so wonderful about God teaching, because God is the most important teacher. He teaches you something, and he texts you about it. And when he has a text for you, that's the moment that you have to see if you overcome that trial or not. In the morning, with a car problem, I didn't pass it well. Maybe the Lord gave me a D. Now he says, now's the chance. You said that, you know, I'm faithful, that you were not faithful. That's your moment. That's your moment to prove yourself unto me that you love me. That you don't doubt about me. And I was there and my mind was exploding. So I pick up the Word of God and I open the Word of God. And it's one of those moments that you don't want to open the Word of God. Psalm 146 says that the Lord is my refuge. The best place to be is on the Lord's hands, right? But doubts and problems and incapacity. All of a sudden, in that moment, I received a text all the way from the United States. How are you doing, honey? I felt that the Lord wanted me so bad to pray for you today. It was one of those moments that you don't want to say the problems that you have. Because from the other side of the ocean, it's not that every time that you talk, you want to share about a need. Because it's like, you feel like asking something. I call her Mama. And Mama said, are you sure everything is okay? So I share about the great things the Lord has done in the morning. And all of a sudden, she said, I don't know why, but instead the Lord told me that I need to pray for you. Is there something else? So I went through the rest of the story. And I told her, I don't want you to think that I'm asking you about this. And she told me something special. If you don't share, how would people would know? And people would like to have the privilege to be involved. The same night, because for us it was the middle of the night, the pastor called me. And he said, we as a church, we have decided to cover everything was broken. I know this story, right?
you were the church. And that day was so special for me, because that was the moment that the Lord taught me again, you are not alone, because I'm faithful. You have to learn to be more faithful. It's a high price to pay. It's an everyday price to pay. And you have the privilege to see God moving the hearts of people from around the world to do what's impossible for man, but it's possible for God. So thank you again for being the church that you didn't close your eyes to us. We know that God is going to reward you and prosper you and give you as much as He can. But in the same time, thank you. Because in the same way that you are with us, we have to be accountable to God for every single day doing what He called us to do. The second price to pay, which is easy to forget sometimes, is the fact that the Lord wants us to pay the price to be fruitful. Fruitful. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you cannot do nothing. And this is nice. It doesn't say fruit. It says much fruit. So when I wake up in the morning, I had to make a decision how much fruit I want to bear to God. I want to bear fruit, or I want to bear much fruit. And that's going to be a lot of energies. If you want to bear my fruit, remember that the devil is not going to be happy. He's going to go against you. Your flesh is not going to be happy. She doesn't want you to get up from your bed. So, you know, just to bear much fruit is something that you had to make a decision about it. And it's a price that you had to make. This year, we wanted so bad to visit, like I said before, people with no churches. So it was a lady that was in my mind. And her name is Giuseppa. You will see when you go outside, we have our stands there. And you will see many of the pictures. We didn't have time today to present all what we had done the last year. But over there, you pass by and see the pictures of many things that the Lord had done the last year. It was a lady. Her name is Giuseppa. Giuseppa is so important this morning because she was one of the ones to help us to bear much fruit the last year. I'm not going to talk about Giuseppa first. I'm going to talk about her sister. Her sister's name was Rosa. Rosa was so important. 25 years ago, she came to our camp. She hated God. She hated God. Why? She was children number 9 in her family, so the father and the mother couldn't support her financially, so she and going to an orphanage since she was 3 years old. So she grew up there since she was 5. She was raped many times by the Catholic nuns, and nobody believed her. So when she became 18 years old, what she did, she left that orphanage and she went to live with one of her sisters. While she was living with her sister, her brother-in-law raped her twice. And of course, again, the sister didn't believe her, like it happened in the orphanage. So she left that house and she went to work for a witch. She was cleaning the house. Very soon, she started a relationship with that witch and she went to live with her. And she got all kind of problems, all kind of problems. There was a business lady, which is a very good friend of my wife. She's a cosmetologist. And Rosa was going to her shop many times for the same reasons that the ladies go to. So that business lady, her name is Graciela, preached the gospel many times to her. But she was so full of bitterness that she didn't want to even listen about God. Finally, you know, Graciela, she always paid 4 to 5 weeks of camp for unsaved people. So she had decided to pay the week of camp for Rosa coming to the camp. But Rosa said, I'm going if you are going. So the business lady came that week of camp too. It was incredible. As soon as Rosa arrived to the camp, you know, she hated everything. She hated the place. She hated the food. But overall, she hated the Word of God. Every time that I was preaching, she couldn't stand. So she stood up and she started throwing up and she left the place. 2 days after that, we realized that she was demon-possessed. And in one of those moments that the Spirit was going away, we preached the gospel to her, but she didn't want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So almost the third day, she came to talk to me and she said that she was leaving the camp. So Graciela was with me. Graciela was weeping. And Rosa said that she was leaving the camp because she didn't want to listen anymore about God. Before she left, I gave her a New Testament with the Psalms. And I said, Rosa, if you're looking for an answer for your spiritual life, you got all the answers in this book. Read the book and you will be free. So she left the camp and Graciela was weeping. She looked at me and she said, is there anything else that we can do for Rosa? And I said, well, we just can pray for her. She looked at me because in those moments, just prayer means very little. But prayer means a lot. Prayer could open doors that we never thought that they were going to be open. And by the way, the last year, I used the year to write my first book. And the book is called The Breath of the Soul. It talks about prayer. And we are going to use that book as a discipleship training in our new ministry in those three churches. So when she left, you know, Graciela keep on weeping. I went to do some other things. 4 hours later, Rosa came back. Her face was completely transformed. She was smiling. She was happy. And she said, I need to talk to you. And she said, you know what? When I left this place, I had decided to suicide. I was going to go toward the closest highway. And when a big truck was going to pass by, I was going to jump under. And I wanted just to die. I'm so tired of my life. So when I was planning to do that, the closer that I was getting to the highway, the closer a voice becomes stronger in my mind. Read the book. Read the book. Read the book. So she said, I got so upset that I opened my back, I pick up your book, I open it like that. And here comes the book of Psalms again, 146. God is my refuge. She said, Mario, you won't believe this. In that moment, every single word that you were telling me about the plan of salvation came to my mind. I down fall on my knees. And I ask God forgiveness. And I ask Him to come to live in my life, to save me and to become her daughter. And He did it. Rosa has a transformed life. She moved to her hometown. There is no church there. So for many years, she was going back and forth, 3 hours travel, until she had decided to move to the closest church. But you know what? Every Monday, Rosa loves so much her town. In Italy, we have what we call open market. So every Monday, she went there with a small table, and she put New Testaments, pamphlets. She paid for all that, and she gave it away. She brought some few people to the Lord. One of the persons that she brought to the Lord was her sister, Giuseppa. Well, 2 years ago, Rosa, after she battled with cancer for the second time, 53 years old, she went to the Lord's presence. Giuseppa stayed alone. Giuseppa didn't know how to write or how to read. Every single day before Giuseppa was going to bed, Rosa would call her and read the Word of God for her, one chapter a day, for 25 years. When Rosa died, Giuseppa really missed that. But that week, Norma and I, we had decided, we had some money saved, and we used all that money to go to visit Giuseppa. Now, from the place where we live, it was 3 hours by car, 9 hours by sheep, and 3 hours by car again to the place that she lives. She couldn't believe that we did that for her. She heard many times messages that I preach, and she said, "Repeat that message to Pete. Repeat that message. I preached 7 times in half an hour." And she said, "Mario, I've been remembering your messages time after time, and there is one thing that I'm lacking. I've been divorced for 23 years, but I never was able to forgive my husband. What do I have to do?" So simple. God forgave you so many more things. What you have to do is just forgive. So we left her in that way. A few days after that, her daughter called me and she told me the great news. You know, they got together as a family, invite the father. She forgave him. They had a very good dinner together. So I called Giuseppa and I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Mario, thank you so much because I feel free. I'm ready to see the Lord." Have you ever said a phrase like that? "I'm ready to see the Lord." In that conversation, I said, "Giuseppa, you've been having some pain on your back for the last 2 months. Did you go to the doctor?" Oh, she says, "No, if I go to the doctor, he's going to tell me that, you know, I'm sick, so I don't want to go." I said, "No, you better go." So the next day, she went to see the doctor. And hear the great news. Giuseppa has cancer. Almost all her body was consumed. And 18 days after that, she went to the Lord's presence. 3 days before she died, she said to me the same thing. "Thank you for taking the time to face a long trip, a very, very expensive trip, to come to see me. And Mario, thank you because I'm ready to see the Lord." 3 days after that, she was with Rosa in heaven, rejoicing. I hear again, guys, the money that we use for that trip, it's the money that you sent to us. So one day in heaven, you'll be surprised how many things you've been involved in that maybe you don't know about it, but just because of the grace of God. The price to be faithful, the price to be fruitful, the price to put God first in our lives. All of us, we know what the book of Matthew said, "By seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." To put God first means that He has to be our priority. And the priority this morning is not how I feel like it. Is now how easy things are going to be. Priority is, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I want to be faithful and I want to be fruitful. And if I do these two things, it's just because you love me first. Now I'm able to love you more. Thank you again for your love. Thank you for being part of our lives, and for being part of the many lives. Like in my song was saying, every one of you touch many people just because of your generosity. Little things unnoticed on the earth, in heaven, will be proclaimed.